My guest is Pamela Rocha. She runs Rocha Family Daycare in Greenview, California, and she's been an in-home child care provider for 17 years. She's a member of the United Domestic Workers Union and served on the bargaining committee with the Child Care Providers United in negotiations with the state of California. Welcome to The Exchange, Pamela.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell me about the negotiation process, the parties involved, and the outcome.
Awesome. I'd love to. So first, I just want to start by saying I want to give my brothers and sisters at UDW and CCPU a big round of applause because 2 days ago, 6 years ago, we officially signed in a contract with the state that allowed us to bargain with the state. So this law was enacted 6 years ago. We had been a union fighting for child care providers from the far north all the way up here in Siskiyou, as far down California as you can go.
Okay. So let me just make sure I understand this correctly. So these two organizations were able to get access to negotiate with the state through a law 6 years ago.
Yes. Okay. So, and since then, we've been collectively bargaining with the state of California. This is our third contract, and I am proud to tell you that members of UDW and AFSCME, which is our union, underneath our union, we have three separate locals, which is UDW 3930, which I'm a proud member of. We have SEIU 521 and SEIU 99.
Okay,
they make up the coalition of CCPU.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is that this is a coalition of organizations that are under the umbrella of Child Care Providers United.
Yes.
Okay, so UDW is underneath the umbrella of Child Care Providers United with these other organizations. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay, so and this coalition came together and negotiated with the state. And you were part of this negotiation process, right?
Yes, I have served on the bargaining committee. This is my second time on bargaining. So for our last two contracts, I've been there fighting with the state and for providers to get better wages and for our families that we serve.
So tell me, what was the problem that led to the negotiations?
So, well, it's an ongoing problem. Child care providers are undervalued and underpaid. We're not really respected. We're looked at as babysitters, and we're not babysitters. We're professional educators, and we deserve to be treated like such. So through the union, we were able to get a voice and collective bargain and sit down and negotiate our needs and our wants with the state.
So let's have a description of when you say child care providers. That seems to be a pretty broad spectrum. Give me a description of what you mean.
So there's child care providers, and by child care providers, I mean in-home child care providers. So parents turn to us when they have to go to work because they have kids that range from infant all the way through kindergarten age, and they need somebody to watch their children, and they want them in a safe, loving, nurturing environment where they can learn to thrive and grow and reach their full potential.
Okay, so now we're not just talking about someone to babysit the child, but someone to care and nurture and also educate the child.
Yes.
Okay, and so there's a number of professionals that do this. What's the population that we're talking about?
We have over 60,000 providers that are licensed. If you're licensed, you can have up to 14 kids. If you're a large license, if you're a small license, you can have up to 8 children at a time. And then we also have our FFNs, which is our family, friends, and neighbor providers. They can watch one family's children without being licensed.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Pamela Rocha. She runs Rocha Family Daycare in Greenview, California, and she's a member of the United Domestic Workers Union, which recently won a major victory for thousands of child care workers across the state of California. Now, you said the population is about 60,000, and this population of 60,000 child care workers, what's the benefit of this latest contract to them?
So we secured for our providers. We were able to maintain our healthcare fund, our training fund and retirement fund. We were able to secure 2 one-time stabilization payments for them to help keep their doors open, and ongoing COLA adjustments, and secured, were paid based off of enrollment, not attendance.
When you say COLA, you're talking about cost of living adjustments?
Yes.
Okay, and so now this contract is with the state. What's the value of the contract?
So we have $37 million for ongoing cost of living, the COLA adjustments, $90 million for one-time stabilization payments, $80 million for ongoing per-year retirement fund. We are the only state that has a retirement fund and a healthcare fund for its child care providers. So this is a huge win, being able to maintain these benefits. And my favorite, the $100 million per year for our healthcare fund, which helps child care providers with their out-of-pocket expenses to cover their premiums when they go to the doctor, their co-pays, their medication, over-the-counter prescriptions, et cetera.
So give me a sense of how these benefits trickle down to the child care providers themselves.
And so, well, child care providers are invited to join our healthcare fund. They have to sign up for the fund, and then they either have to, in order to qualify for the fund, they have to do is take a subsidized child, which means the state is paying for the child care. And then they automatically qualify for the program.
Okay, so the state is paying for the child care because it's subsidized.
Yes.
And how does that process work?
Okay. That's a long process that we are currently trying to work out and trying to work through. The way that they pay us through the subsidized system is broken, and it's been broken. And that's why we have CCPU and UDW, so that we can continue to fight to get providers paid at the true cost of care.
Okay, and how many children are impacted by this? What's the population of children that are being cared for?
Well, you have 60,000 providers, and it depends on their license. But right now, providers are struggling to keep their doors open due to our low pay. And not only that, but we're losing children to the UPK and to the TK system. We're not being included in the mixed delivery.
Now, you're using acronyms I don't understand. Help me out.
So UPK is the Universal Preschool, which many providers already provide a preschool curriculum. And then the TK is transitional kindergarten.
Okay, so what's the age range of the kids that we're talking about?
So child care providers can take care of children ages 0 to 13 years of age. We usually have siblings like over breaks or during summer vacations. But the majority of our children are infants ages 3 months and up, through toddlers and preschool age.
And you're saying that the state is subsidizing this process. Is there some for-profit system as well?
So, well, some providers choose not to take state subsidy, and there are private pay providers. So there are many providers, but the ones that we represent are the ones that take subsidy payments. Those are the providers that we represent.
And you have secured for them a retirement fund?
Yes. We have an $80 million ongoing per year retirement fund. All they have to do is, like I said, take at least one subsidized child, and then they automatically qualify, and the funds are distributed into a retirement account for them that is set up. They just got to go to the retirement fund website and sign up to make sure they fully qualify.
How do they qualify?
So, again, they just got to take one subsidized child, and as long as they've been licensed or had a child within the last 3 months, they automatically qualify.
Okay, and how long does it take for them to engage in the program get instant?
Yes, as soon as they go to childcareprovidersunited.org, they can click on our benefits link, and they can enroll into the healthcare fund, the training fund and our retirement fund.
Okay, so what are the next steps in the process of implementation of this contract with the state?
So, well, we just got done ratifying it with the state. Thanks to through Senate Bill 151, we were able to ratify it with the state and the legislators. So the contract is protecting our health care fund, our retirement fund, our training benefits, and it secures stabilization pay for us to keep our doors open. We have many victories that we won in the last 6 years, but the fight isn't over until we get to the true cost of care. So as of yesterday, we just currently sat down with the state again. We're joining forces with the state to negotiate the true cost of care in what's called a JLMC, which is a Joint Labor Management Committee. And we are trying to come up with a structure and a plan to get providers paid what they deserve and what the true cost of care is.
So we have about 30 seconds left. How did the unions come together to collaborate in this process?
So 6 years ago, we came together. But this has been an ongoing battle for many years. Our union is a social justice union. So it started over 20 years ago, providers standing up for providers and fighting for what we deserve. And 6 years ago, we became a collective. The collective bargaining bill allowed us, that was signed into law, okay, to represent the many providers that we represent.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this segment of the JX. I appreciate the work you're doing, and thank you for sharing it with us, Pamela.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.